So this morning, we're going to continue in our series, The Gift. And before we get going this morning in this sermon, I just got to ask, how many of you showed up this morning thinking I was going to give away another $100 bill? Yep, nope, not going to happen today. I thought about, Bruce and I were talking, I thought about just coming in and holding up an envelope and saying, who wants this? And you got to take care of it. And throwing in like a water bill or an electric bill and you could Merry Christmas me, but I decided not to. Anyway, at Christmas time, we often, many different things we see. When we look around the manger scene, there's all kinds of different things that we see. We see an infant born. We see shepherds. We see cattle. We see sheep. We see a mother and a father and stars and all this beautiful stuff. And one of the things that we oftentimes see around a manger scene are wise men. And we see them. They're at the manger presenting their gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh to the baby Jesus. It's a beautiful little picture. But let me just give you a real quick history lesson, okay? The wise men were not at the manger, okay? Listen, they weren't there, okay? I know that everybody puts it all out, but they were not there to see the baby Jesus. The wise men didn't arrive to give their gifts to the Christ child until he was somewhere between at least a month and maybe as old as 2 years, okay? It's somewhere around that time. So they weren't at the manger. They didn't even start traveling until after the child was born, and they were coming from the Arabia Peninsula. They had a long journey ahead of them. So it was at least a couple of months, maybe a couple of years or more. But we do learn something from them being mentioned there. We learn a lot, and that is that gift giving and gift receiving are very important things around the birth of Christ. During the Christmas season, we all think about gifts we want to buy for our friends or our loved ones and family members. We try to find that perfect gift just to give to that person we love. TV commercials, they blitz us. They blitz our minds with the perfect gift. You know, get this perfect gift for the NASCAR fan in your life, or get this perfect gift for the aspiring chef in your life, you know, a new set of ninja knives or something like that. You know, always something. Here's the perfect gift for that person in your life. But what about those practical gifts? Anybody in here really enjoy, being honest, really enjoy, look forward to opening practical gifts at Christmas? There's a few. Okay, I believe you. Yeah. So if we gift wrapped a big vacuum cleaner, you know, it's a gift that sucks. but if we gift wrapped that and gave it to you, you'd really like that. Or what about a blender? You know, who wants a blender? Oven mitts. Everybody wants a nice set of oven mitts and matching dish towels, right? We want those practical gifts. How about a tie? Want a tie? When I was a kid, my brother and I, we'd go together, we'd save up our money, and we'd buy our mom a gift for Christmas. Actually, more realistically, rather than saving up money, as we'd scrounge around the house, digging in the cushions of the couch, and going back to the shorts that we wore in the summer, digging in the pockets, trying to find any amount of money we could find because we didn't save up for it. It sounded better, but the reality is we just scrounged around trying to find stuff. But it was always cool. I mean, you get your coat and hopefully you'd find like a dollar in your coat. I still get excited if I find a dollar in a coat. You know, when winter comes and you get your coat out for the first time of the year, you put it on, you shove your hands in your pockets, not expecting anything. Whoops, there it is. Unmistakable linen. You pull it out, whether it's a dollar or 10, I'm like, whoo, that's great. Pull out 100, I'm like, this isn't my coat. It's got to be somebody else's. But you have those things, you know, we look forward to those. And but anyway, we would save up and we would gather money around, and we would put our money together, and we'd walk to town to buy a gift for my mom. And it was usually something like dish towels and oven mitts. That's what we got her. And if we had enough money left over, okay, like maybe $2. Now I'm talking 1975, 1974, you know, $2 was a lot of money to a little kid because gas wasn't very much. I mean, 78 cents a gallon. I mean, so $2, You're driving for the weekend. But anyway, if you had $2 left over, what we'd do is we'd go and stand in front of that little spinning rack, you know, been to the dime store? You know, the spinning rack that's got all this glitz and glamour of jewelry on it? We'd take our $2 and we'd stand there and we'd spin that rack. And we'd look for the most beautiful set of $2 diamond earrings we could find. I mean, we would. That's what we'd do. And we'd pick out the fanciest pair of $2 diamond earrings. And we'd take them home. We'd wrap them all up. And we'd set them under the tree. And I'm still this way. Like, when I buy gifts for people, I have a hard time waiting till Christmas to give it to them. Because I'm like, come on, just open it now. I'm so excited. I want you to have it. And so that's the way I was as a kid. I just wanted to give it right away. And it was really hard to wait till Christmas. But Christmas would come. My mom would open this gift. And what amazed me is how excited she was. I don't know if she really was, or if she wasn't, she was a really good actress. But she, you know, just so excited over oven mitts and dish towels and $2 diamond earrings. And I always messed up because her ears were pierced and I got clip-ons because they were cheaper and she couldn't wear them. But, you know, she kept them. She still has them. But man, I wanted to give her just, you know, so much more. And, you know, if I'd given her more, I doubt that she would have appreciated it anymore. If it was in a more expensive gift, I don't think she would have appreciated what we got her any more than what we gave her. And my wife is just like my mom. She really does like the practical gifts. She does. And she loves whatever our kids get her. And it's precious to me to see how she lights up when they give her a gift. It's really one of my favorite times at Christmas. It's been said, though, that for a gift, that a gift must meet three criteria for it to be a perfect gift, because that's what we all want to do. We want to give that perfect gift. And so the three criteria for a perfect gift are these. Number one, the gift should reflect the one who gives it. Number two, the gift should reflect knowledge of the one who's going to receive it. That means that you know their desires, their needs, their taste, and so forth. And number three, the gift should be of a nature and quality that will hold its value as time goes on. Think about how many gifts you'll give and receive over the next couple of days, and maybe already have. And how many of those gifts meet that criteria? All three of those. Most of them probably won't. Not all three. Last year, one of the hottest selling gifts was Hatchimals. Anybody get Hatchimals last year? Okay, do you know what I'm talking about? Anybody know? Okay, so we know what I'm talking about. Hatchimals was one of the hottest selling gifts. And for those of you, like, I didn't know what they were. But I have a friend who has a 2-year-old. And he's like, yeah, it was the biggest thing. You know, everybody wanted a Hatchimal. And he was telling me all about it. Hatchimals are these, like, eggs. Okay, they look just like an egg. And you play with the egg. And the more you play with the egg, eventually it hatches. It hatches out a stuffed animal. So really, you're just making the kid work for a stuffed animal that's inside. But that's okay. It gives them something to do on Christmas, I guess. But they hatch, and it's just a stuffed animal. That's all that's left. One parent wrote a review about it, and this is what they said. They said, my child opened his Hatchimal, played with it for about an hour and a half, and then it hatched. Almost immediately, the stuffed animal inside went into the pile of stuffed animals on his bed, never to be played with again. I'm like, what do you think is going to happen? The egg hatches. It's just a stuffed animal. If they don't play with them, they're not going to continue. I mean, it's not like you're going to put it back in the egg. But anyway, it's one of those gifts. We give a lot of gifts like that. I think we would be pretty safe to say that even though a Hatchimal was one of the hottest gifts of 2017, it was probably far from the perfect gift. When I was a kid, everybody wanted a Slinky. You guys remember Slinkies? I mean, TV commercials. They walked downstairs, a loner in pairs, and made a slinkity sound. A sling, a string, a marvelous thing. Everyone knows it's Slinky. It's Slinky. I wanted one so bad, and I got one. That was the dumbest gift I ever got in my life. It really was. Oh, retired bed spring is what I thought it was. How many of you guys had a Slinky? See, yeah, my daughter, I thought I'd pass on the dumbness, and I gave one to my daughter. It's like, here, have it. Be fun. Have fun with it. So anyway, and be honest, if you had one, did you spend more time playing with it or untangling that thing? I spent more time untangling it. The gifts we think are the perfect gift for someone, or the gifts we ask for that we think are the perfect gifts, only to find out that they're far from perfect. Over the past few months, we've all spent a lot of time trying to decide what gifts to give our loved ones for Christmas. For hours on end, we've probably spent time shopping in malls or outlet stores or flipping the pages of magazines or exhausting the .com websites, searching for just the right gift to purchase for each of our friends and family members. And we've gone to all this time and trouble because we love those people and we don't want to give them just any old gift, right? It's got to be that perfect gift. On Christmas morning, when they open that gift that we purchased for them, we want them to be pleased. We want to see by the look on their faces that we succeeded, that we got them a gift that gave them great joy, not something that they'll return, that they'll rewrap and give to somebody else, or they'll just toss in the trash. Well, one of the things that makes Christmas so wonderful is that it is a celebration of the fact that our Heavenly Father, the giver of every good and perfect gift, thinks about you and me in the very same way. In John chapter 3, verse 16, Jesus said, God so loved the world that he gave. He gave what? He gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. This morning, as we prepare for Christmas, I want us to understand that in giving his Son, God did indeed give us the perfect gift, the perfect Christmas gift. I say this because Jesus meets all the requirements of a perfect gift. Number one, Jesus reflects the one who gave him, God the Father. He reflects him. Number two, God's gift of his Son reflects knowledge of our needs. And number three, the gift of Jesus is of a nature and quality that will hold its value as time goes on. Jesus' value is eternal. God gave us the perfect gift when he gave us Jesus Christ. If you have your Bibles, I want to invite you to turn to John chapter 1, verse 14. It's a short one-verse passage we're going to read, and it tells us of this perfect gift. John 1, chapter 14. If you don't have a Bible, there should be one in the chair in front of you or beside you. John 1, 14. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. The gift reflects the one who gives it. That's if you're filling in your blank, that's the first thing we're going to talk about. The gift reflects the one who gives it. Let's let Scripture speak here as the author of Hebrews describes Jesus this way in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. Read that again. Listen to it. Listen to the words. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. The Apostle Paul further illustrates this in Colossians 1:15. He says, he, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. So when you see Jesus, you see God. He is the image. He is the radiance. He is the exact representation of God the Father. When God sent his Son into the world, he was sending himself wrapped in flesh and muscle and bone and sinew to come and walk upon this earth with mankind, with his creation. When he gave us Jesus, when the Word became flesh, he had you and me in mind as he gifted us his one and only Son. Do you remember what the angel said to the shepherds that night in Luke 2:11? It says that he proclaimed, "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you." The Savior was born to you, and you, and you, and you. He was born to us. He was given with us in mind. I believe that one of the messages of the parable Jesus told in Luke 15 of the shepherd who lost one of his sheep and left the 99 to go and find the one is that even if there were only one sinner separated from God on this planet, Jesus would have still come and died on the cross because God loves each and every one of us as if we were the most precious thing in his universe. Each of us is precious to him. We caught his eye. We've gathered his attention. He knows us. Max Lucado, I love the way he writes. He wrote this. He said, "If God had a calendar, your birthday would be on it. Your birthday would be circled with your little name on it, a little picture of you on it. If he drove a car, your name would be on his bumper sticker. If there's a tree in heaven, he's carved your name on it. If God had a refrigerator, he'd have your picture on it. If he had a wallet, your photo would be inside. He sends you flowers every spring and a sunrise every morning. Face it, friend, he's crazy about you." That's the kind of God who sends his one and only son so that we can be in an eternal relationship with him. We know he has a tattoo, and we know what it says. Isaiah 49:16, God says, "I have engraved you on the palm of my hands." I've carved you on the palm of my hands. You're there. I see you. I know about you. I love you. Jesus himself said that anyone who had seen him had seen the Father. The Father's words were spoken from Jesus' lips. The Father's mercy and compassion were seen in Jesus' actions. The Father's abundant provision was demonstrated through Jesus' generosity. The Father's great power and love were revealed to us through his Son. Jesus is the perfect gift and the perfect reflection of the one who gave him. The Bible tells us that God even knows the number of hairs that are on our heads. All this shows that when he gave us the gift of his only Son, he did so with each of us as individuals on his mind. He knows us and desires us. Second thing, the gift fulfills our need. The gift fulfills our need. If you get a gift, it doesn't meet a need. If you have no use for it, we usually get rid of it or give it to somebody else. Or we keep it and we tuck it away in a closet with a whole bunch of other gifts that don't meet our need, right? So a real gift, a perfect gift, meets our needs. Well, the gift of Jesus Christ fulfills our need. My mother could always count on getting things like oven mitts, like I said, or dish towels each year because she needed them, just like I could always count on getting socks, underwear, another shirt, because we needed them. And though it may not be the most exciting gift to give or to receive, we give those because we love the ones we're giving them to, because we know they need them. Well, in sending Jesus into the world, God was meeting our very real need of a Savior. He knew that sinners, that as sinners, we needed forgiveness. As sinners who are lost, we needed saving. This is what the angel told Joseph. He said, "She, Mary, will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins," in Matthew 1. So as Paul wrote to young Timothy, he said, "Here's a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst." That's the purpose of Christmas. That's what this time of year is all about. I mean, I love family traditions. I think it's great to gather around the tree. I think it's great to get with family. It's fun to open gifts. But that's not what Christmas is all about. Not at all. It's about sharing the journey of God's one and only Son from heaven to earth and into our hearts. We have a great responsibility at this time of year. People just seem to be a little softer, a little more responsive. And we need to use that as an opportunity to share the gospel, because that is what this time of year is about. Not $2 diamond earrings, but about a gift of eternal value. A gift that really fulfills the needs of men and women globally. There's a bit of saying that floats around at Christmas that expresses this wonderful truth. It goes like this. If our greatest need was for information, God would have sent an educator. If our greatest need was for technology, God would have sent a scientist. If our greatest need was for pleasure, God would have sent an entertainer. If our greatest need was for money, God would have sent an economist. But since our greatest need is for forgiveness, God sent a Savior. Jesus is the perfect gift because God gave him with knowledge of our needs. God knew we needed a Savior, a deliverer, a redeemer, a healer, and a friend. We needed someone who was fully God and fully man. Only Jesus could meet this need. Being fully God enabled Jesus to carry our sin. His deity enabled him to be the sacrifice who could bear the sin of the world, along with the penalties of sickness and poverty and spiritual death. Being fully human allowed Jesus to identify with what we go through every day. It enabled him to provide for all our needs and desires and to care for us in any situation. Jesus became our substitute. We owed a debt we could not pay, and Jesus paid a debt he did not owe. Because of Jesus, you and I are free, or we can be free if we receive this gift. When God gave us his Son, he did have our deepest needs in mind. I love the way the Apostle Paul says it in the book of Romans. I'm going to read like three different verses. I'm just putting them all together from the book of Romans. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. God demonstrated his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And in Romans 6, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Jesus, the perfect gift from God to us, because he is the gift who fulfills our deepest need. Let him fill your deepest need if he hasn't already. And if you know people who haven't, tell them about him. How's the person doing whose name you wrote on the gift tag, on the name tag? Are you praying for them? Have you shared the gospel with them? Share it with them. Fill their need of Christ. Finally, to be a perfect gift like Jesus was, the gift is sacrificial and has eternal value. To really convey love to the receiver, a gift must cost the giver something. It has to cost. The more it costs, the more sacrificial a gift is, the more love it conveys. This principle of giving is seen in the famous story entitled The Gift of the Magi. Some of you may know it. It was written by William Sidney Porter. Do you remember it? It goes like this. It tells of a young couple who are so poor that they can't afford to buy each other gifts for Christmas. But each finds a way to sacrifice so they can purchase a gift their spouse needs. The husband sells his most precious possession. It's his pocket watch. And he uses the money to buy a beautiful comb for his wife's lovely long hair. But unbeknownst to him, She cuts and sells her lovely hair to a wig maker and uses the money to buy a beautiful chain for her husband's pocket watch. They both sacrificed so they could give a special gift to each other. Well, when God gave us his only son, he broke the record. When it comes to sacrificial giving, for it cost no one more than it cost God. When he gave his one and only son to pay for our sin debt. 1 John chapter 2, verse 2 says this, he, Jesus, is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. And because of this great sacrifice, the perfect gift of Jesus Christ has eternal value. Jesus is the gift that really does keep on giving. Let's look at John 3:16 again and listen to it closely. For God so loved the world that he gave, and he gave, and he gave, and he gave, and he gave. Thousands of years later, the gift of Jesus is still giving. The gift of Jesus never expires. There's no use-by date stamped on Jesus. He won't go bad, he won't spoil, and you won't have to ever throw him out. Neither does he ever go out of style, though some people think they have to make Jesus in vogue. There's never a need to update him or to trade him in for a newer model. Some people like to give gift cards during the holiday season. But some companies have a policy that assesses a penalty for non-use. So if you get a gift card and you don't use it, you're penalized. In other words, if you don't use that card, they start taking off money off that total amount until it's at a zero balance. Jesus never has a zero balance. He's the gift that never expires or goes out of style or becomes outdated. Every generation needs a redeemer. Every generation needs a savior to lift them out of sin and into the righteousness of God. Jesus is the one gift that will never lose value or worth. Jesus is the perfect gift. Even though we don't deserve and could never earn this gift, God freely gave Jesus to all who will receive him. God's love for us in Christ never fades, never diminishes, never weakens. God's love for us remains consistent and constant. Christmas is the season for giving gifts. And it's no wonder that we give gifts to loved ones at this time, since Christmas is really the celebration of God's gift to those he loves. You and you and you and you and you and you and every one of you. There's no better gift that you could receive this Christmas than the gift of Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior.